I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
This week we talked about the Lowry War, something one of our colleagues suggested forever ago that we finally got to. One person whose work was a big part of this research was Melinda Maynor Lowry. She is a historian and currently works at Emory University, I think. She has written 2 different books on Lumbee history. One is The Lumbee Indians and American Struggle. The other is Lumbee Indians in the Jim Crow South. And that one is super interesting. It talked about a lot of stuff that wasn't directly related to this episode or the context for this episode, because it's really about the very complex and nuanced relationship between the Lumbee tribe and segregation in North Carolina, which I originally had a whole part of in the episode outline. And it was becoming so incredibly long and was not actually related to the Lowry War. I mean, it's part of the like ongoing following context, but it wasn't actually part of the war itself because North Carolina public schools were racially segregated basically from the beginning. So once the state recognized the Lumbee as an indigenous tribe, they were able to start their own school. And then that led into starting their own normal school or teacher college because the Lumbee teachers weren't allowed to go to teaching college at any of the white schools. And that normal school or teacher's college eventually became the University of North Carolina at Pembroke. So that is a very complicated and nuanced story. And I also, in addition to all of the complexity involved with it, I sort of felt like I, a white person, not the best person to tell it. That whole book, though, I found very accessible to read for folks who are, you know, not historians and not living their day-to-day immersed in history every single day. So that is something to check out if folks want to know more. A rabbit hole I went down while doing this research, besides that one, is the North Carolina's outdoor historical dramas.
I don't know why that phrase makes me laugh.
So I just had this moment when I was like, oh, and then they made an outdoor drama about it. And then I was like, do other places have outdoor dramas in the way North Carolina does? Because we mentioned the Lost Colony, which is obviously about the Lost Colony. We mentioned Unto These Hills, which is about Cherokee history. I've seen that one. There's another one called Horn in the West. Horn in the West was first performed about the same time as Unto These Hills was. I think those were within a few years of each other. I'm saying that from memory. I apologize if I got it wrong. Horn in the West is about, like, Daniel Boone. So that's not about Indigenous history, really. And I've seen that one also. So I've seen Horn in the West and Unto These Hills. I don't think I have seen The Lost Colony. I have not seen the one that we talked about in this episode. But, like, these outdoor dramas that are about the history of the place that the drama is performed, there's multiples of them in North Carolina. And so I, like, sort of tried to go down this path of, like, why are there so many of these in North Carolina? There are also, I mean, there are places that have Shakespeare in the Park or have, like, an outdoor theater company that does shows outdoors in good weather. But this is, like, the same show that is done in the same theater over and over again as a tourist attraction every single year. And I'm just like, what is the story there? And I was not finding satisfying answers to what the story is there. And then I was also like, this is not what the episode is about, Tracy. Get back to work.
Yeah, I it makes me laugh because it seems so oddly specific.
Yeah.
Because I don't know of any others that exist in quite that way, right? Like, there are certainly people that do reenactments in various places, but I can't think of anywhere else that has, like, that as a cultural thing.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that there are three in North Carolina that have been running, to my knowledge, for decades, and then other ones in North Carolina that have run for a period of years, and then maybe they fizzled out, maybe they got picked back up. North Carolina does have a relatively mild climate for doing outdoor dramas in the warm weather months. It's less mild now because of climate change, but still. I also maybe am particularly interested in them because I was a theater kid in high school, and I knew people who went to college at Appalachian, and in the summer they would do Horn in the West as one of the actors in that show.
You know, I got my degree in theater. I don't think I have any friends that have done those.
Huh.
Like, of anywhere, not necessarily North Carolina, but, like, you know. I have certainly had friends do, like, repertory theater in the summer in various places, but not like something as specific as, like, historical dramas that are part of, like, a tourism industry.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
When I was in high school, my mom and I would go on weekend trips together, and we went on multiple different weekend trips that involved going out to the mountains. And it was on those various trips that we saw Unto These Hills and Horn in the West. And I'm really pretty sure that I've never seen The Lost Colony, even though I have also visited that part of North Carolina. So anyway, I'm glad that we finally got to the Lowry War from my short list that is not short at all. The federal recognition conversation is so complicated to me and is another thing where, like, I, as a white person, am not the person to, like, sort all that out. Holly is like, I have nothing further to add.
No, it is all complicated. I mean, I found myself, I'm glad you did the research on this one because I found myself getting lost with everyone having the same name.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I literally had, as I was reviewing it this morning, I had like a weird chart and I was like, wait, did I do this right? Have I gotten confused with the...
There are a group of family names that are really common among the Lumbee, and they include Lowry and Oxendine, a lot of the names that came up in the show. Those are not names that a lot of people would think of off the top of their head as being like an Indigenous person's last name. And that's been one of the things of, like, how did this group of people living in this part of North Carolina with a tribal identity that goes back for centuries have a lot of last names that people would think of as English? And I think that is one of the things that fed into the, like, are these descendants of the Lost Colony conversation that came up in the 19th century.
Right.
So, yeah. There are lots and lots of Lowry's still today, including Lowry's in, like, leadership. Melinda Maynor Lowry, the historian that wrote some of the work that was part of the research for this, as well as doing a panel that I watched a video of that was about all of this. So, yeah, if you are interested in the greater history of the Lumbee tribe, highly recommend Melinda Maynor Lowry's work.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about Thomas Midgley Jr.
We sure did. That wasn't the most fun ever.
No. Yeah, I was unaware of how much people already knew about leaded gasoline being dangerous. It wasn't entirely surprising because you and I are both old enough to remember leaded gasoline being sold at gas stations. And
oh,
I remember...
Yeah.
As a child, being like, how did anyone think this was a good idea ever?
Right.
Leaded gasoline was not the only very problematic source of lead that was phased out over about the same time. There are also things like leaded paint. A lot of houses still have leaded paint in them. lots of other stuff. But I remember being there at the gas station with my mom and just kind of being like, I don't understand why we had to have a process where we put the lead in there and then we took the lead out of there. And I was like, was the lead just always in there? Is lead part of gasoline? And we just discovered we needed to take it out. Like, I didn't really get it. But I also didn't really get, like, why anybody would have thought that would have been a safe thing to do.
I mean, right, this is a disheartening one for many reasons, and you and I talked about it beforehand. Like, this idea that business is more important than safety is a problem that many industries have had over the years.
And it just keeps recurring.
It really does. This one is especially bad because people were dying so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, we're fixing the factory. Okay, but people have already died. Like, there's clearly a big problem with what you're doing.
Yeah. Something that we didn't talk about, one of the things Alice Hamilton was really focused on was, what about gas station attendants?
Right.
Because, I mean, there are still places where people don't pump their own gas routinely. But the process of putting the lead into the gasoline, there was a lot of back and forth about when that step should happen. And there was a process that involved actually putting it in at the gas station. And Alice Hamilton kept being like, this is killing people at factories. Have you even thought about the person who is pumping people's gas all day, every day? Like, what exposure is going to do to that person? Clearly nobody had thought about. We didn't even get into it in the episode because it felt like a whole other thing. And I also felt like the episode was becoming very long. I don't know why it did not occur to me that that might happen when I decided to do what I did with the episode, which was to talk about his biography and these two other things.
Would you like to hear funnier thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you familiar with Roz Chast?
There's a bell that's ringing.
Right.
It's just not...
You might be and not even realize it. Roz Chast is a cartoonist that did a lot of stuff for The New Yorker for a very long period of time. She's so funny and I love her. And this episode reminded me of one of my favorite Roz Chast cartoons, which is called Four Common Lampshade Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. And they're very silly. Like, one lampshade is too tiny and the suggestion is just buy a larger shade. One is too large, buy a smaller shade. One has too much fringe, just cut off the fringe. And the fourth one says, made of magnesium and benzene soaked rags, leave the room. And this has been one of my big favorites for a very long time. And so when benzene came up in the midst of like all of this other horrible stuff, my brain like deposited a little dopamine and went, remember that great Roz Chast cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
You could tell other people about the great Roz Chast cartoon.
That's really good.
Roz Chast is, I love her.
Yeah.
I also want to say something about our listener mail.
Okay.
Abby, I'm sorry to do this to you, but you may have already discovered there is also Diarrheal Woman.
Oh, I didn't even know that. And I researched that episode.
Yes. Well, you wouldn't have it. It was related, like it came out later in relation to like women's health. But I am currently in the midst of acquiring a Diarrheal Woman so that I can have a Diarrheal Couple.
That's great.
I understand, Abby, the proclivity to just buy strange things when you hear about them. And I'm sorry I have put this on your radar if you didn't already know. Or you're welcome. I don't know which, but Diarrheal Woman.
I did want to note that a little bit about what I found so upsetting about Thomas Midgley Jr.'s death. So if that's going to be a troubling topic for people, I think this is going to be a Wednesday episode, so you can probably just...
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. So the first things that I found that were about his death described it flatly as an accident. And it wasn't until later that I learned that, like, the death certificate and the coroner's report did not come to the same conclusion of it being an accident. The idea that this man had to make a lift for himself to get from the bed to the wheelchair, and that he had accidentally or, like, become entangled in it and that it had killed him, I found so upsetting. Because, number one, it's clear that at that time, there was so much stigma around disability one of the things that started to shift that stigma was how many people became paralyzed as a result of polio and then advocated for themselves and for changes to disability rights law. We've talked about that some in our episode on the independent living movement and Ed Roberts, who was a big figure in that movement. But still today, there are so many basic things that so many disabled people need for so many basic tasks of life that they cannot get access to or cannot afford access to, or there's like only one model and that model doesn't quite work for them. My mom needs a lift to get from anywhere to anywhere.
Yeah.
And on occasions when she has had to be hospitalized, a lot of times they will have a sling for that lift, which is the thing that she's in to like move her from place to place. But it's not a sling that allows access to the toilet. And that just makes going to the bathroom like a whole gigantic, like a bigger process than otherwise. And so the fact that that he had to build something for himself and that regardless of the circumstances, the thing that he built for himself killed him carries through to, it just, it made me very angry and upset.
Of course.
So it's like an example both of how there has been progress and how there is still so much more that needs to be done about access and about how people having the tools and the resources and the equipment that they need for daily life with a disability.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this has been a very interesting time in terms of disability resources, because I feel like during the pandemic, when most people, during the early parts of the pandemic, I should say, when most people were staying home, there were some kind of benefits that came about that really, really helped the disabled community.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of those are rolling back. I had just retweeted a tweet from a woman who was commenting on a story about how restaurants are now pulling their QR code menus because some people don't like them. And it's like, she's like, I'm blind. That gave me like a level of access at restaurants that I haven't normally had. Why would you take this away? It doesn't detract from anyone else's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that the upside of all of this is that these are discussions that people are recognizing now that maybe haven't considered what it is like for someone who is disabled to have to like make their way in a world that does not make space for them and does not provide the equipment and the things they need. But also, as you said, it's infuriating because it's been going on forever.
For all of the time. Yeah. Yeah. I think social media, as conflicted as my relationship with social media is, I think social media has allowed so many people to have a bigger voice and to have more diversity of the voices that you have access to. I mean, there are still barriers to social media that are based on all kinds of different factors, including disability. But so many disabled people have been able to communicate their own thoughts and needs and feelings about things to a much broader audience. And I think that is bringing more awareness to stuff. A thing, I've told Holly that I've done this. I haven't really like publicly. I've been trying to do less doom scrolling on Twitter. And one of the things I do instead of doom scroll on Twitter is I just flip through TikTok until I find somebody doing something really cool. And I found a lot of folks on TikTok who are disabled and are making content that is about their disability in ways that are just really thoughtful and funny. And folks who are willing to answer lots of questions for people. Do not go pepper people with unsolicited questions, because that can be really like invasive, but like people who are willing to take on that role and to talk to people about stuff that's going on. And I'm like, I am heartened to see that. I simultaneously am like, I wish people did not have to do this kind of work. I wish we were already to a point where we had more understanding, but like also I'm glad there is more access there through these and other communication methods. So anyway, happy Friday. I hope whatever is happening on your weekend is going to be good, as good as it can be, whatever is happening. We will be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow. We'll be back Monday with a brand new episode. And hope everybody has a little minute of peace, whatever's going on. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.